Hello, this is David Harlow on Health Blog, and I have with me today Mark Rodwin, professor at the Suffolk University Law School in Boston, who has a piece published in the current issue of JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, regarding the case for public ownership of patient data. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, David. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you for being with us. The case that you make is a compelling one, and I wonder if you could lay it out in brief for our listeners and readers.
Sure. Maybe I should give a little background.
Thank you.
There's a new emerging market in patient data, anonymous or de-identified or anonymized data, aggregate data. And it's growing, particularly because of the move to electronic medical records. The significance of this is that it will now be much easier to do all sorts of analysis of public health, of marketing trends, of valuation of healthcare systems and hospitals, of epidemiological research. And so it's a very valuable development.
Yes, and that's part of the policy background for the push to add electronic medical records to our healthcare system, I think.
Right, but what hasn't been discussed very much, it's been overshadowed by the talk of confidentiality issues or technology or making this happen, is how to make this work for the public and for private parties too. And the main question that's been ignored is who owns this data, who should own it, and what is the consequence of the law on ownership in this area. And in fact, there's an area of great uncertainty because the law's really been established to decide ownership of medical records, tangible property in the past. And there's a pretty clear resolution. Records are pretty much in most states owned by providers, but patients have access to the records and there are limits on provider use of it for confidentiality. But with electronic data, you don't necessarily have exclusive ownership. And it's not really clear what its status is. There are a few parameters, though. It's pretty clear from what's been said so far that this is not something that the law would normally allow to be copyrighted or patented, because it doesn't involve the raw data on patients' creativity, and it's not an invention. By this, I'm referring to data that comes from a billing record or a patient record, something that's been produced there. And in that sense, it's not protected. On the other hand, what's happened so far is people have been selling the data they have, both for-profit firms, not-for-profit hospitals, insurance companies, and they've often used contracts in selling it to restrict others from using it, and they've put the data in.
Just to be clear, we're talking about aggregated, de-identified data for the most part.
Yes, absolutely, yeah, and I thought I had said that up front. And so there's an effort to really make this a private property. And there have actually been some people out there in the policy world suggesting that it should be private, not public. The Heritage Foundation in a brief a while ago said that government shouldn't have any privileged access and should have to buy it. And other groups that have looked into it, Amy and others, have said don't think about ownership, just about access. But if there isn't some provision set up to make it public, publicly available, then it's going to be treated quite possibly as private property, and that's going to create problems both for the public and for private development, is my argument. Now, for the public, the problem is this. If individual insurance companies and hospitals have a right to own the data, they can restrict who uses it. They cannot make it available. They can sell it only on terms that they want. And even if it's made sellable to public health authorities, it may be simply too expensive to get. The problem is larger than you might think, because the value of this data is particularly if you have a comprehensive database. So fracturing it into parts owned by lots of different entities makes it much harder to collect together and to use. And even the transaction costs, if you had the money, would impede use. So that would really limit many of the public health and research functions of it. And we've seen this happen in other areas. There's been some discussion of patenting genes. So Laurie Andrews and others have written about that. And there's actually an economic literature that discusses what's called the tragedy of the anti-commons. And the basic idea is that if you allow private ownership, but such that the values are really downstream, it becomes very hard for private owners to collect them together and get the beneficial uses. That's what I'm saying is going to occur here, and why I recommend that there be a mandate to have certain reporting of certain aggregate data to, say, HHS or a new government entity, and that data then be made available to the public. Now, there actually are some precedents for that in limited ways. California requires hospital discharge data to be reported for all hospitals. Medicare requires all hospitals to report certain cost data. So this is not a totally new approach or a radical approach. And the other thing that is important to know is making this publicly available doesn't impede commercialization of sorts. It just makes a better market for it. Because once that's public, you can have different firms take the data, analyze it, put it into software in different ways, do all the kind of things that make it valuable and usable. The only thing that happens when it's public is that you prevent these parties that analyze the data from having a monopoly and plying and kind of having a tie-in with their data ownership and their analysis. So now you can have...
So they could, whatever the value they add in terms
absolutely.
Of analysis would be that you create a market for that sort of analysis.
Sure. So if Harlow and Rodwin Associates does a very good graphics on the data and puts it into a usable, friendly format, we could sell that. But given that the data is out there and others could do it, we wouldn't be able to sell it with a monopoly profit based on our having the data or having an inferior product that no one else could compete with. Someone else down the street, Tom Jones, could say, I can do that even better, or sell it in different unit pricing and make it and compete with you. So you can actually have the two or three folks developing the analysis and the delivery in certain ways, and none would be able to require that you only go to them because for their services, because you have to buy the services with the data. So I can say a bit more, but why don't I let you ask some questions?
What I was going to ask next is, would you see this sort of protection of rights or protection of the usability of this data as something that could fit in with the framework for meaningful use that's been articulated under the Recovery Act?
Well, I don't think it's been sufficiently articulated yet. I think it's yet to be articulated with regulation.
There's a draft definition, a working definition, if you will, out there for comment. And I guess one of the ways that's being framed is sort of, you know, what are the health outcomes or policy priorities that are going to be advanced by a definition of meaningful use? And you've articulated a very important one, which is the use of all of this data for population-based, evidence-based healthcare.
And yes, but we'll see what comes out in the regulations and how they develop. But what I'm suggesting is a broadest possible definition possible, and that would require that it all be made available. And what worries me is that meaningful use might significantly restrict it in different ways. And the approach I'm taking is that it's all reported and made through a government entity available to everybody who wants to use it once it's protected and the like. And that would preclude anyone not making something available or making it available later or on less favorable terms. And for broader than just population data, conceivably, I'm very interested in the public health uses, it would be also usable for a subpopulation, for the Boston area population, or for studying of one hospital system or one HMO.
For a particular disease.
That's right, but and the like. And so I think there's a value to having some mandatory reporting, which will certainly get the data out there in a way that saying the data has to be made available to those who request it or on certain circumstances, it puts the kind of the cost of collecting it elsewhere. And as I say, I mean, right now we've done this with Medicare data in California, and there are certain times you just you have to report certain things. And maybe there should be some compensation for that, but basically, we're talking about people reporting things that they already have and do report to others. So if you have to turn over information already for billing for Medicare cost data and the like, we're not talking about a lot more burden to make that same data available more broadly.
Now, in this piece, you had highlighted the fact that some data sellers will draft agreements that limit buyers of the data from further disseminating that information.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question I'd have on that front is whether you're aware of lawsuits that have or decisions that have addressed the enforceability of those agreements. Make the case that the work that's done in manipulating that data doesn't really create something that's copyrightable. So the question is, can the seller really enforce an agreement that requires someone to not disseminate that information further?
Right. Well, I'm not aware of decisions that have ruled on it. But there is a difference between copyrightability and enforceability of a contract. It could be, I assume the evidence I have is that it's not copyrightable, but that doesn't mean that a breach of copyright would mean someone could claim a copyright infringement for use and have the remedies there. A breach of contract is a different matter, and even if they can't copyright the data, they might be able to, under the terms of the contract, have contract remedies. It's also quite possible that simply having that clause in contracts is going to chill and limit what different people do with their data and limit access there. And in addition, what I've been reading about and told is that people are trying to put this data into software in ways to limit its access. But the tension is basically here. If the data really is available publicly, you're going to have less of a primary market in people buying it from others without the analysis. And the fact is, if you want to buy certain data now, they're known sellers, and they can deliver a database and a certain kind of databases, and there really aren't a lot of alternatives at this point.
Right. So you're talking about encouraging a much more robust secondary use of the data beyond
market. Yes, that's what I think would be beneficial.
Now, do you see patient rights activists as being opposed to this sort of approach?
Well, it doesn't fit into the categories, and I think a lot of people's initial reaction is that you don't want something public with the idea that it's safer when it's private in the sense that it's confidential. But I think that misconstrues what's going on, because public doesn't mean that it's not protected in terms of confidentiality, and nor does not public or private mean that it is. In fact, there are, of course, risks of any time there's data available, whether it's publicly available or private on a private market, that there'll be a breach of confidentiality. If the data is not properly coded, or if it's broken down in certain ways and with other information you can combine it, you might be able to then identify patient information. My point is that that's equally a problem if there's a private market where you can buy this data, where people have exclusive, firms have exclusive ownership interest in the data, and in a situation where it's available, where it's available through a government entity like HHS.
Yes.
So it hasn't really been broached. As far as I know, much of the public and patient rights groups haven't been talking about this so far. They've been talking about privacy as a separate issue.
They've been talking about privacy and control of health records, and I guess what I was getting at is the question of whether you think some folks would see this putting of records into public hands as a concern when some patient advocacy groups would prefer to see greater patient control of records.
Right. Well, there are some people out there that talk about patients owning the data. That's a proposal. That's not what the current law is. And the current situation is that even if you would like patients to own data and stop others from doing anything with it, that's not happening now. And the law is not allowing it, and it's not the public access that's the problem. If there's a problem, it's private firms appropriating it without consulting it and without any oversight. And I think to the extent that this is made public, it's going to have to be done through a statute that will define what the limits are in the uses and confidentiality in a way that it can guarantee much more safety for patients than currently exists. The fact is that HIPAA – you go ahead.
Do you think that the current legislative debate on health care reform provides a vehicle for such a statute?
Well, it provides a vehicle for doing it, but it's not what's the focus of most people's attention. So it's unlikely to, at this point, be a center of the debate in the editorials and press and the like. It may well be that if there's a major bill in Congress, someone there will slip in something that relates to this. But it's not an issue that's been debated at all. And that's a little bit worrisome, because I think there's a significant chance that some groups that are doing well with the current situation will try to put in some kind of legislation to do the opposite, to make it private, to not allow public access. And since it's not, a lot of the public's not aware of this issue yet, they won't see what's happening, and they won't be able to prevent that.
So that could be a surprise. Well, hopefully we don't get a surprise like that. And I appreciate very much your taking the time to discuss this issue with me.
Well,
it was an interesting topic and a very interesting proposal, a bold proposal, and perhaps that can have some traction in the current environment as we're discussing this on the national stage.
Well, whatever you think of it, it's worth, wherever you come out on it, it's worth thinking about. It's a major policy issue. It's opening up. It's new. And it will make a big difference.
Yes. Well, Professor Mark Rodman, thank you very much for taking the time with HealthLog today. I appreciate your thoughts and your insights. And thank you again for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.